Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Happy holidays, and thanks for queuing up another edition of The Mincing Rascals. This time we get to know a couple of our fellow rascals a little bit better. You hear their voices each week, but who are Austin Berg and Lisa Donovan, two relatively new voices to our weekly roundup? After recording the podcast that dropped December 19th, we kept the tape rolling, and for the 20 minutes or so that we still had in the studio, Eric and I peppered them lightly for the usual analysis of Chicago and Illinois and national news. Come back here next week for another edition of The Mincing Rascals. What do you know? Today is December 19th, 2019, and now it's 1:29 in the afternoon. This is John Williams, and this is a different holiday version of the Mincing Rascals podcast, because we are recording this in advance to give the gang the holiday. But I also think, since we have never taken the time to get to know you players, other than your political and news views and analyses, maybe we should take a moment to do that. So, I'm John Williams. You are...
Austin Berg.
You are...
Lisa Donovan.
You are...
I'm Eric Zorn.
The rest of the gang couldn't be here just now, but let's visit with you guys, and maybe I'll do another version of this with them on another date. Austin, where are you from?
I was born and raised in the great state of Illinois.
All right, now you guys join me in this. We'll do Austin, then we'll do Lisa, then we'll do Eric, and we won't have time for me.
I have no comment at this time.
The rules of engagement are, so tell us again where you're from.
I'm from Illinois, so I was born in Evanston. My mom was a scientist at Northwestern University.
What kind of scientist was she?
She was a PhD in cell biology. I was never good at science. My mom's amazing at science.
So then where did you go to school?
So I moved around all throughout the state as a kid. And then I went to college out east at Tufts University in just outside Boston.
You were a Jumbo.
Go Jumbos. Exactly.
Why did you move around the state? What was going on there?
I mean, my family just was at different spots. So we were in
various cell biology hotspots.
Yeah, my dad's job as well.
Is he an academic?
So no, he actually works in healthcare finance. And then he actually ran in the primary for a congressional seat down in his hometown. In Altamont, so I was there when I was a kid, throwing out candy and parades and stuff.
He didn't get elected, huh?
No, he lost in the primary. But we lived in Decatur, Champaign, and then I went to high school and middle school out in the western suburbs in Hinsdale. So I went to Hinsdale Central High School.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, because, I'm a LT guy, which is Hinsdale's rival.
That's one of those schools where Hinsdale Central thinks New Trier is its rival, but if you ask someone from New Trier if they think that's true, they kind of dismiss you.
Well, no,
near too much. LT, I think, is kind of a similar thing.
So, in other words, Hinsdale is so much better than LT.
That's what I observed.
That where LT goes, that's our rival. Hinsdale people go, no, not so much. You're not there yet.
But they think they're real rivals. Which is Trier, but that New Trier wouldn't.
Which is what LT does to Oak Park, by the way. I think that's a great rivalry. But I think maybe LT kids are sometimes a little dismissive of the comeuppance of Oak Parkers. Mm-hmm. Hadn't thought about it in that sort of pecking order before.
So, what did you study at Tufts?
I did political science and economics.
And was this the sort of thing you aspired to do someday?
Podcasting?
No, the Illinois Policy Institute, though, analyzing social issues. And by the way, nobody gets paid to do that. I mean, how fortunate for you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's the best job ever. So when I was in high school, I was doing, throughout a whole summer, I worked with this guy, Misael, and we did yard work for this old lady. And it was right at the advent of me being able to listen to audiobooks, like on a device. And someone told me to listen to Free to Choose by Milton Friedman. And I loved it. And I got way into Friedman. I got way into behavioral economics stuff.
How old were you at the time?
I was probably 16 or 17. So then I went to college and studied that. And one summer, I applied for this program that does kind of fellowships with state-based think tanks. And they said, you can go to a think tank in D.C., you can do a state-based one. And if I chose the Illinois Policy Institute, I got to keep the housing stipend and live at my parents' house, and that was literally the only criteria. And that's why I ended up there as an intern in the first place. And then once I graduated, they had a job opening, and I've been there for 5 years.
So what's a day like for you?
Oh, man. Well, first, you have to read the work that Lisa and Eric do.
And Heather, too, by the way.
Heather. And so you need to digest what the political and policy narrative is. at the state level, and we do some Chicago stuff too, so I do that as well. We do a lot of storytelling work around public policy issues. We do a lot of engagement with lawmakers personally to advance the policies that we think will better the state. And then we do a ton of writing and a ton of engagement on social media. So we have what I think to be the biggest policy megaphone in the state. We've got over 500,000 people on our email list.
Really?
We have a huge Facebook following.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So do you like start the day with meetings, or how does that?
I am a notorious hater of meetings. I try to avoid meetings as much as possible. We have a policy pipeline kind of meeting once a week, and that's where every team kind of gets together and says, okay, what's moving? What are our priorities? How do we, affect change and tell our community what's going on?
Are you doing somebody's bidding? That is, are Republicans saying, hey, we'd sure like it if you guys would crank out a paper like this?
Definitely not. So all of our legislative agenda last year, every bill, the chief Democratic sponsor was a Democrat, because we care about passing laws. And there's supermajority Democrats in the House and Senate, and there's a Democratic governor, so you better believe you need to get along and work with Democrats on all sorts of issues. So we independently come up with our policy, with our legislative agenda every year. We're just finalizing our one for next year.
But are you guys
right
more left-leaning than as an institution?
It depends on the issue. So on fiscal issues, and we get hit, we've gotten hit in the past viciously by the right and the left. But in terms of where Illinois is in the policy sense and its fiscal problems, the biggest problems facing the state, we are often most vocal on those issues where we would be considered right-leaning, which are fiscal issues.
Or libertarian. I mean, it's sort of the definition of the IPA is sort of libertarian think tank, right?
Because
that's where Milton Friedman comes in, and so that's where your heart is.
That's my lane, yeah.
What's the definition of that, though? Is it economically conservative, like don't overspend, or what's the definition of that?
Yeah, so in terms of state policy, don't spend more than you take in. Don't dump billions of dollars in debt on the young and the unborn. And then on social issues like abortion or the Second Amendment or things like that, we don't take a position because you can't comment on everything, and that's not our specialty. But on things like criminal justice reform, we've done a lot of work, and that was one of my most amazing projects when I first started, was working with this woman in Decatur, where I used to live, to get her occupational licensing bill passed. She had gone to nursing school, paid her own way through nursing school, lived in a terrible part of Decatur, raised three kids by herself. Her fiance was killed by a stray bullet. After she graduates from nursing school, the state says she can't get a license to be a registered nurse because of a crime she committed when she was 19 years old. She stole money from a Subway sandwich shop cash register. And her name is Lisa Creason, and she fought for this bill. And we told her story. We did a documentary with her. We lobbied in the legislature, and we got her bill passed. And now she has that job, and she has that meaningful way to earn a living. And thousands of other people like her have been able to do that. So that's not a traditional right leaning issue, but that's an example. We care about economic opportunity the most, so that's where we play.
So what do you do when you're not nerding out on policy?
Basketball.
What do I do?
No. You're very tall.
Everybody.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'3 or 6'4, somewhere around there. Eric and I should do a little.
Yeah, Eric is 6'6.
I'm shrinking, though. That's the thing.
Bertrand is 6'6.
I love music. I collect music, and I go to a lot of shows.
Who's your band?
Oh, my gosh.
What's the last show you went to?
The last great show I went to was this guy called Krause. He's a noise kind of musician guy from New York. He played at Shuba's. It was a really good show. I love Wilco. They're playing. They just came to mind because they're playing at the Chicago Theater like five or six nights or
married
something.
Married? Kids?
Not married. Longtime girlfriend. Live with girlfriend. No kids. Two siblings. Two parents.
The American dream.
Austin Berg. All right, so Lisa Donovan, you got a couple minutes for us?
I do. What do you want to know?
Eric, you start.
You like thrash music? Like, no.
I do.
You're from Nebraska.
You've referenced that. Yeah, I grew up in Omaha. The youngest of eight kids.
Wow, eight kids.
Nice Irish Catholic family.
Valedictorian?
No. I was more interested in sports and having fun. And I actually didn't get interested in journalism until I had a knee injury and I couldn't make the high school basketball team. My dad said, well, you can write, why don't you do that? My dad would kind of go take a journalism class, and he would kind of...
Did he say, which one are you? Lisa?
Yeah. After he'd go through, yeah, absolutely.
What'd your folks do?
So my mom took, she stayed home, and that was like a 28-hour-a-day job. And my father worked for... a company called Northern Natural Gas, and it became Enron. So after raising all eight of us and making it into old age, he lost his retirement.
Oh,
so it's kind of
no.
a sad Ooh. Kind of a sad deal.
What so, happens when yeah. that happens?
You know, he had enough that he, in Social Security that he was able to sort of stitch it together. You know, it was tragic. I mean, it's sort of somebody who lived through the Depression and then has all of his retirement in the stock market. So, you know, and I was kind of, they used to call me a happy accident. I kind of came along later in their life. And so I think they had sort of a break between, there's a 7-year break between the next youngest and me. And I think that they were able to sort of stockpile a little bit of money so that they, wow. they could live, but it was a deal. So,
so you went to a state school.
So I went to a state school, and I loved journalism from high school. I always joked that the first time I kind of at least asked a question of power, spoke truth to power, was the time that I was really irritated for some reason after Mass. And why aren't girls getting to be, you know, girls could not be altar girls back then. My dad said, go into that rectory right now and ask Father why. He's like, he's going to retire. Tell him to give, and don't leave until you get an answer.
And take this recorder with you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, so it wasn't sort of a straight and narrow path to covering politics, but I went to a state school. I went to University of Nebraska. I majored in journalism.
You worked for the Daily Husker or whatever
I worked for the Daily Nebraskan. I did. And one of my first jobs out of school was here in Chicago at the City News Bureau, which is sort of this boot camp for journalists. Cover crime.
What brought you to Chicago? What does that just?
Oh
like,
my God!
Here,
you know what? I had actually for a year I was in Kansas, and I was like, I cannot be around people who everybody looks like me. In Omaha, everybody looks like me, and I'm because I'm related to everybody. And then in Kansas, they're my third cousins. I wanted to come to a city that was it looked different. It had a little more energy. I love Omaha still. I'm not saying that, but just more energy and diversity.
So you just threw it. So you said Chicago, I'm coming.
Yeah,
had you been there before?
I had because I had a couple friends who went to Northwestern, and I knew some people here who had moved here from school. So
and you have a job?
I did not have a job.
Wow.
It was not a happy time for my parents and me. I did not have a job. I got here and I just started temping and I applied to City News and I got a gig and started covering. I covered night cops here in the 90s when there were, 1,000 murders a year.
Was that a good training ground?
It was because you really got to know people. Like you could cover a homicide and then you're covering the governor, at the Palmer House, or you're covering the mayor, at City Hall for some piece of legislation that he's proposing. So there was all, you get thrown into this stuff and you're a kid and you get schooled by the politicians, you get schooled by the veteran reporters who are like, what are you going to stand there with your tape recorder? Are you going to ask a question? You really kind of got your rear end kicked.
Did your parents worry about your safety coming to the city?
They did. And I remember I had to wait a few years. I told a couple of my brothers about it because they would laugh at everything. But I walked in on somebody who was burglarizing my apartment in Lakeview. and it was sort of funny because I think he just took the opportunity. I don't think he was a burglar. I think he had too much to drink and just start like, oh, look, those people's window. One of my roommates had left the window open.
He's more of an explorer.
Well, it just sort of, yeah. And the stuff that he had taken was like, some like puzzles. and you could smell the booze.
You don't know the street value of puzzles,
yeah,
let me tell you.
Yeah. So,
1,000 pieces.
Yeah. So, anyway, I had to wait a few years to tell them that story. But anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so, yeah, they worried. I mean, it's sort of, you're from another part of the country, the big bad city, no matter what it is, yeah. New York, here, and legitimately speaking, I mean, there were a lot of homicides. Chicago was on the map for that. New York was on the map for that. And there were times when you really were out covering things and you would have to kind of fear for your safety.
Wait, did you get a break, quote unquote? Like, so you've got a, I think a, I don't know if it's a coveted position at the Tribune. I would think it would be. When did that happen? When did you go, wow, so, here I am?
So I took the advice of a Sun-Times editor, went to Cincinnati, and then eventually made my way back here. And I'd covered politics at City News and a couple of other places. And I right now, I kind of landed in this spot because we needed some people covering politics in a different way and to kind of bring it all together. And so I write this daily newsletter, and I'm kind of, it's a lot of multitasking, and I love it, and I do feel fortunate to be doing it, but it is sort of like, okay, yesterday I'm like watching, you know, the debate and the press conference over at City Hall, and I'm also watching just in case something happens on impeachment. And so, yeah. Yeah, so it's crazy, and you have to sort of synthesize it and try to sort of analyze it or get a hold of somebody who can analyze it. Like, before I got here, I was talking to somebody about the debate tonight. You know, how much is an impeachment factor going to come up tonight? And it turns out the folks I was talking to are saying not at all. This is not where the Democratic presidential candidates on stage tonight want to be. They need to differentiate themselves. They're trying to sort of move past one another, and you know, I feel like I get a daily education on the world and deal making. It's all just deal making, right?
Yeah. So what's your average day like? What time do you get up and start?
So I get up about 5, and I look at my phone. I kind of check in with one of my first reads is Axios, because I love that newsletter. Quick, concise, and they always have a scoop, so it's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, I never thought about it this way. So I always walk away from that and think that's what we should all aspire to, is sort of making people think about their world differently. And then, you know, kind of tool around the local news stations, try to look at Fox, try to look at MSNBC, try to look at CNN, and then I don't know, eat a bottle of cereal, get in the shower, and then get on either a train or a bus to get in here, to get downtown, and start calling. You know, I kind of switch up days. One day I'm covering City Hall folks, state folks, our congressional delegation.
I'm actually amazed by the variety of things that Lisa covers.
And the volume.
And with the volume and just how she's got to juggle all these thoughts. And she's got to meet a deadline by, what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Or
one, yeah, about 1 or 2, yeah.
And it's not just report on it, but I think this is true especially of the three of you as opposed to us electronic broadcasters or journalists or whatever we are. You guys have to offer insightful analysis, too. It's not just saying that happened, but then, and here's what you should think of. Here's a way to think about this. Here's some analysis. And I think
what it means.
That's the great joy of getting to consume you guys.
Well, it's one of the reasons that I thought about Lisa when we were talking about this podcast a while ago, John, is that I knew that she just covers the absolute waterfront when it comes to state, local, national issues. So there's basically no fastball you can throw at her that she's not going to hit.
Well, that's
back.
The thing about these two, and have, pardon us while you, I know you're sitting right here, but the two of you have added this to our podcast along with Heather Sharon, and that is, I know about these things, but I don't know them in the depth or detail you guys do. Like, I know the topic to talk about it, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Somebody's got to pay attention to this stuff. You know, I frequently say on my radio show, if you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper.
What does your husband do?
My husband is redoing our kitchen.
And he's into trains.
Yes, and he's into model trains in Uptown. There's a model rail club up there.
So you're married, no kids?
Married, no kids. And
where'd you meet your husband?
I met my husband here in Chicago at a friend's surprise birthday party. He was coming from a Swedish language class, and I was coming from a late shift. I had been working at the Sun-Times then. We were the only sober people there.
Right.
So we had to sort of talk to each other.
I loved meeting him. He had a cool sweater on.
I only met him once, but he had a cool sweater on. We talked about a lot of things, including trains, which I was not into, but thoroughly amused by. I was into slot cars. He was into trains. So we talked about our electronic toys.
Slot car people hate train people.
I think straight people hate, don't even think slot car people get to be in the room. But he was a delight. Okay, we're out of time. So we'll do another version of this. Eric, you're getting aced out here. You're getting bumped. Lisa, Austin, Eric, thank you.
You got to do you too, John.
Nope.
I want to talk about your football career.
Okay.
Basically, that's all I want to talk about.
Eric Zorn, Lisa Donovan, Austin Berg, John Williams, produced by Elif Garris.
And Elif, too.
We'll drop now that would be a story. We'll drop another podcast on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can now also follow us on Spotify, or you can keep listening online at WGNradio.com. Plus, catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.